Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I will say it again at this service, Tony and Susan could be the sermon. They are grace embodied, and that is the title today. Grace is free, really, isn't it? Isn't that the title? Yeah. Okay. Anyway, a group of middle school students and I were discussing forgiveness a few months ago in confirmation, and to try to understand it more, we had some questions we asked each other. We said, have you ever felt bad for something or did something that you felt bad for that you, have you ever felt bad for something you did or said? Were you forgiven and how did that make you feel? The talkative group of girls suddenly went silent and one of the girls said, I'm gonna need some time to think about that. Good answer. A few seconds later, like, this is delayed answers, and these girls are chit-chatty, but they didn't have the answers already, but then this one brave and bold and beautiful girl said, Pastor, what does forgiven really mean? And all I could think was, what a great question. How many people even ask questions these days for fear of looking foolish, but what a perfect question for us, because forgiveness is at the heart of what we do in church, but we don't often talk about what it is. We kind of assume people know this meaning of forgiveness, and yet we never really articulate it. And so, this summer, we are doing a sermon series called The Big Three. It's grace, hope, and forgiveness. I just mentioned forgiveness. That's not until August that we'll talk about that. But we are delving into these foundational words of faith to not only understand them better, but hopefully experience them and live more fully into them. And so the first word that we're exploring from today through the end of June is that of grace. We will look at a different biblical story each Sunday that will show us the power of grace, to help us receive it, embody it, and share it with others, the way it's been so freely shared with us. So today we just heard Pastor Hammerston read the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now this is a parable. A parable is a story to bring a deeper truth, and it tells us that grace really is free. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that we earn. It is a pure gift. Which means grace can be kind of scary for us. Theologians regard grace as offensive. They say it's offensive because we as humans don't easily receive it if we don't think we need it. Because the control in a gift is outside of us. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we get. Or it is something that we get and all people get it. Whether we believe another deserves it or whether we believe ourselves deserves it or not. Grace is free. And when we hear the word free, there's a lot of subconscious things happening in our minds. We might think worthless or cheap or strings attached or there's no such thing as a free lunch. We are used to this way of visioning the world, tit for tat, quid pro quo transactions, loyalty programs, merit-based raises, paying our own way. And so the language of grace is like learning a new language because we are so used to applying this transactional way of life even to our lives with God. I will always remember an example from the second church I served in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Our congregation had a banner year of giving. There was a huge surplus in the budget. And at our annual meeting, one church member kindly made a motion to give the senior pastor and me, the associate pastor, a bonus because of the church's strong contributions. But before the motion could even come to a vote, our senior pastor spoke up and he said, if you reward the pastors when giving is good, what will you do when giving is bad? Take our money away. Take the money away. He didn't call it our money. No, he taught us something important right there. The gospel is not transactional. It does not happen because of what we do, but because of what God does through us. It's easier to accept a gift if we think we've done something to earn it. We would rather pay for our salvation with good behavior or resources of money and time than depend on God's free, unmerited gift of grace. And truth be told, those are all good things. Giving of yourself, really good things. It just doesn't earn us salvation. We are also inclined to compare ourselves to others and compete with others. We love to know when we're better than someone else, when we're kind of like, maybe we've sinned, but our sin maybe isn't as bad as that person's sin. You know, we like to make those comparisons. But when we're full of self-righteousness, we do not have space for God. And that is what today's parable shows us so clearly. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Now, for the Jewish people, Pharisees were considered really good and admired. They try to do everything right, and so for the Jewish community of faith, they were looked up to. The tax collectors are considered pretty bad in this society. They have aligned with the Roman Empire. They're taking money from this community of faith to give to the empire. So this community doesn't really like the tax collectors, and everyone sees the Pharisees as just good and respectable. But Jesus overturns his assumptions with this story. The parable continues, the Pharisee stood and he prayed like this, "Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And then the parable concludes by saying this, "This man, this tax collector, went back down to his house justified rather than the other." The tax collector admits his powerlessness, while the Pharisee, who's following all the rules and doing it all right, is filled up with his own self, too self-conscious and righteous, too self-righteous to have room for God. And so the question for me this week has been, where do I tend to land? And then I ask that to you, where do you tend to land? Like the Pharisee, do you willfully navigate your way through life, doing everything just right, so not to be pointed out as less than, not good enough, not perfect? Or, like the tax collector, are you willing to be honest and confess that you are not perfect, that you have hurt others, and that you have hurt yourself? I love how theologian Philip Yancey says it in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace. He says, "The opposite of sin is not virtue. The opposite of sin is grace." If you've ever been so good, so religious, so perfect, so righteous, that you haven't needed God's grace, then like the Pharisee in today's passage, it is awfully hard to receive it. And even more, it is awfully hard to give it. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 expresses the heart of our Christian faith. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast." The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector is a perfect illustration of the law and gospel lens with which Martin Luther reads the Bible to reveal God's grace. Martin Luther says this, "God has surely promised God's grace to the humbled, but one cannot be thoroughly humbled until he or she realizes that salvation is utterly beyond one's own power, counsel, effort, will, and works, and depends absolutely on the will, counsel, pleasure, and work of another, which is God alone." Nadia Boltz-Weber is a more modern-day pastor, and she explains it in more modern language. She says, "You can tell the law because it is almost always an if-then proposition. If you follow the rules in the Bible, then God will love you. Then you will be happy. If you lose 20 pounds, then you will be worthy to be loved. You fill in the blank, if then, you know which ones trigger you. The law is always conditional, and it is never anything anyone can do perfectly or on their own. When we treat the law as gospel, we cease to know and live true life and happiness and worthiness. The Pharisee was caught up in all the shoulds and all the ways that he had worked in life to live up to the law's standards. The tax collector declares his own unworthiness and pursues God's mercy instead of his own self-worth. The Pharisee perceives freedom as doing all the right things without being honest about the truest things that are going on inside of him or outside of him. The Pharisee has made God into one who judges just like him. The tax collector recognizes his need for God, who does the very things he cannot do for himself: love unconditionally, forgive unconditionally, share grace unconditionally. I speak often about my fervor to live the gospel more deeply upon graduating from college. I was really into Bible studies in college and accountability groups and growth in the Christian faith. And truth be told, I still am. But I think I resonated even more with the Pharisee at that point in my life than maybe I care to admit. I thought I could live a life of perfection and purity in so many ways. I thought that the roadmap was laid out for me to be a good Christian in the Bible, and I thought that sin was stuff we did, and I actually even thought that maybe I could get above sin if I just did all the right things, you know? Even though that's not in our theology at all. I thought a friend of mine was sinning, in fact, when I moved out to Seattle, so I recited something verbatim I had learned in one of my prayer groups in college. Love the sinner, hate the sin. When I spoke these words to her, it was visceral. She immediately began to cry. She immediately had the courage, when she could get her breath back, to let me know how hurtful they felt. I had felt very convicted at that point in my life that if I didn't stand for something, I'd fall for anything. That was another little catchy phrase I had learned verbatim in one of my prayer groups at the time. Incidentally, that's not in the Bible, nor is love the sinner, hate the sin. But I took them as pretty much my convicting words for how I lived. I felt my path to growth in faith was making clear distinctions between who was in and who was out, what was right and what was wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's righteous, what's unrighteous. It wasn't until I had that friend, and she truly was a friend, obviously, to have the boldness to tell me how much I hurt her and also reveal to me the true gospel in that moment. She showed me that God's gospel of grace is not about our own worthiness or unworthiness. It's not about the laws we keep or the laws we don't. Ultimately, it is not about us at all. It's about God. Only God knows all, and only God can forgive all. God doesn't call us to praise ourselves, pat ourselves on the back for how wonderful we are. God simply calls us to confess our truth, what is deepest in us, that which we might feel the most shame about, that which we don't want anybody else to see or know about, that which we cannot free ourselves from our own. God calls us to recognize every single day that we are in need of grace. That's not to have poor self-esteem or to hate ourselves or put ourselves down, but simply to be honest. Because none of us have lived the gospel. None of us have offered grace. None of us have loved as we have been loved by God. Christ became human. Christ lived among us. Christ died and rose again to offer the grace, hope, and forgiveness that we just cannot conjure up on our own. Christ's gift of grace offends us exactly because of that, because it's free. And it's free for all of us, the tax collector and the Pharisee as well. Christ's gift of grace reveals not our will, but God's will be done. Thanks be to God. Amen.